This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Six in the evening with Lynn Kelvin and Ayman. And for our last story of the day, we're taking a look at the Olympic Council of Malaysia. So it was reported in Malaysia Kini yesterday that a few sports veterans were outraged at the appointment of Michelle Chai as the new chief operating officer of OCM. And we're just going to tell you why.
So there are a few reasons why. And those are the fact that it's alleged that she is earning around 30,000 ringgit a month. There's no confirmation about this figure, by the way. There are also questions about how the appointment process was done, because apparently she wasn't part of the list of candidates for the COO position.
So we did actually get some clarification on this, because if you were to read the initial article, there were a lot of quotes from, a lot of angry people. And I think we've heard a couple of just a little bit of clarification on that note about 30,000 and also about how the Olympic Council of Malaysia runs.
Yeah, so like you said, Kelvin, there's no confirmation that she's getting 30,000 or whatever. So this story is still developing, I guess. But in the meantime, we wanted to find out more about the Olympic Council of Malaysia, because you rarely hear about them. And next year is, of course, Tokyo 2020 Olympics. So there, it will be interesting to see like who they are and how they work to develop sports, and how they're different from like the Football Association or the Badminton Association.
For sure. And I think just to go back briefly to that point about the salary, I think there's also the reason why that number is being floated about is because that's the salary cap.
Yeah.
But again, they're also not a government entity. So I guess the anger that's going on around this is interesting, because if you were to read the article, there is mention of how they would prefer it if it were, say, a former sports person, somebody who they could believe would be fighting for the rights,
yeah,
or for the improvement and development of athletes here in our country. And maybe I think that's where you were coming in earlier, Ayman, about that point about what does the Olympic Council do exactly? Mm-hmm. Because is that, I never really knew what the aim was. I'm not saying that they're not important. I'm saying that I'm ignorant. But also that something like the Football Association of Malaysia, the Badminton Association of Malaysia, maybe because of their names, you know exactly what they do. Maybe because they're in headlines, you kind of get a better sense of what it is that they achieve.
Yeah, and they sound almost governmental in this case, right? They sound like they have links just from the name itself, that they are perhaps affiliated directly with the government. So I guess there's also the point that some of the other details we're not so sure about, besides the fact that 30,000 might not even be the number they're getting. That's also the point that we don't really necessarily know who is in that shortlist. We don't even really know if Michelle Chai was part of that COO shortlist that they were looking at.
So a lot of different things to explore, but also just the OCM in light of Tokyo 2020 being pretty much round the corner. We just wanted to get a little bit more of an idea of what they do, our preparedness for the Olympics, and just all those different things. And to take us through that, we are going to be speaking after this with Harish Deol, who is a sports journalist and editor of 2213. That is going to be happening after this. If you have any thoughts about, I suppose, these sorts of appointments within sporting bodies, whether or not it's a bit of a storm in a teacup, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:11 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and we're talking today about the Olympic Council of Malaysia. They were in the headlines because some sports veterans were outraged at the appointment of the new COO, and concerns over pay grade, concerns over experience were put out. Although, again, not a government entity, so this issue of pay grade kind of crosses that public-private line. But to get some clarification, we're heading over to the phone lines, where we have Harish Deol, sports journalist and editor of 2213. Harish, it's always good to have you with us. So let's start with this. Can you walk us through the role of the Olympic Council of Malaysia?
Okay, the core business of the Olympic Council of Malaysia is basically the umbrella body for sports associations in the country. That's one. It's obviously an affiliate a member of the International Olympic Committee. And it prepares the national contingent for the Olympic Games, the Asian Games, the Commonwealth Games, and also the Southeast Asian Games. It is not a sports organization because it does not govern any sport per se. The national sports associations govern the respective sports in the country. And of course, the Olympic Council of Malaysia, like every other Olympic councils around the world, they are there to promote the Olympic movement and the spirit of sportsmanship in the countries where they are in.
Right, so you mentioned that the main function of the OCM is to prepare national contingents for multi-sports events like the Olympics or the SEA Games. Could you elaborate on what sort of activities will fall under that preparation?
Basically, they facilitate with the organisers of, let's say, for example, the upcoming Southeast Asian Games or even the Tokyo Olympics 2020. So what happens is that the Olympic Council of Malaysia will vet through a list of those who intend to participate or represent the country to this multi-sports game. And they will then look and prepare the contingents in the form of their uniforms, the accommodation, the transportation while the teams or the athletes are there, and to ensure that the welfare of these athletes are taken care of while they are there. So there are many other roles that the Olympic Council of Malaysia and the other Olympic councils around the world play, but when specifically for ahead of a multi-sports event, that basically is the gist of what they do, to prepare the teams.
And how might the OCM differ from other national organizations like the BAM or the FAM?
BAM is a sports organization that represents the sport. So they govern the sport. FAM governs football. BAM, the Badminton Association of Malaysia, governs badminton. So OCM is the umbrella body, meaning that all these associations fall under the OCM. Yet, it does not mean that the OCM can dictate. So, the Olympic Council of Malaysia, their objective is to just be the umbrella body and is to ensure that the sports, you know, to prepare the teams ahead and to also regulate, but to ensure that these associations are listed under the Olympic Council of Malaysia so that they are seen as to be legit in a way. However, we also have the Sports Commissioner's Office, which actually approves the setting up of any associations and also events in the country.
So we've kind of been talking around this a bit. Does the OCM have any affiliation with the government?
No, the only link they have is with the International Olympic Committee. They're not governed by any government organization, agency whatsoever. They are not an organization under the Youth and Sports Ministry. They are independent, they are on their own.
And why is it necessary to structure OCM in this way, where there is no influence or involvement from the government of the day?
It is structured like that worldwide because the International Olympic Committee is an independent body. And just like many sports organizations around the world, they must be seen to be free from any form of politics, political interference, or free from the influence of the government of the day. And it is the same with the International Olympic Committee and the Olympic Council of Malaysia. It's the same with many sports organizations worldwide. So it's nothing new. It is sports is supposed to be free from any political movement, agenda, and it should be free from politics, basically.
So since the OCM is not government-linked, are the criticisms against its COO's purported salary justified, especially since the role of COO itself is relatively new?
That's a question that you've got to ask Olympic Council of Malaysia, because I'm sure they have tabled this to their executive council, and I assume that they would have obtained everyone's approval for them to come up with a capped salary and also the justification of why they need a COO. I would think of it as, in an era of professionalism, you know, there must be efforts to monetize things we do, and sometimes some people believe that they need to spend to get more. I do not know what is the justification towards the need of having a COO, because traditionally we've never seen such a role within the Olympic Council of Malaysia. But it is not and alien or strange moves. Other Olympic councils, or even, in fact, other sports associations around the world have got such structures. The council sits outside the daily operations. The CEO's role would to actually overlook the daily operations of the institution, which is, in this case, the Olympic Council of Malaysia. So, yeah, I think to pacify any fears by any party, I think rightfully the Olympic Council of Malaysia should spell out or justify why the need of a CEO. Perhaps the current board is not really effective, that they need a CEO to run the show on a daily basis. I don't know. These are just assumptions. I think it's best that we actually hear it from them.
On a whole, would you say that Malaysians have a clear grasp of what our various sporting bodies are responsible for?
I wouldn't want to insult our Malaysians, so I would assume that they know very well what the different roles played by the different entities. So I think the problem is that we are assuming too much, in a sense that we assume that everything related to sports is government-driven, which is wrong, which in actual fact should never be the way. It has been that way for far too long, simply because government initiatives has always been in the limelight instead of association-driven initiatives. But thankfully, or unfortunately for some, we don't hear a lot of sports-related agendas being thrown out at the moment, simply because perhaps the minister is quite inexperienced when it comes to sports. So we are seeing more sports-driven initiatives getting the limelight and, stealing the headline, unlike in the past where it's always government-driven. So all this while, many people have this presumption that anything related to sports, there is a government hand in play. But coming back to this issue, it's very clear. The Olympic Council of Malaysia is on its own. It's an independent body, and it is not governed by any government institution.
Right. And I mean, in fact, the OCM is doing pretty well in terms of generating its own revenue.
Yes, of course. The main bulk of Olympic Councils of Malaysia's revenue comes from the grants they receive from the International Olympic Committee. Now, every Olympic cycle, which is 4 years, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, will furnish member states on an average between 5 to 6 million per term over 4 years. Now, in addition to that, the Olympic Council of Malaysia used to have a hotel, which is called the Olympic Hotel. It's been shut down for about slightly over a year. They used to get revenue from that as well. There are very many offices that sit within OCM, whereby those who are operating from these offices pay a monthly rental. So that's how they get their money as well. So they've got their monetization effort going on. Let's not forget that they've also got a whole lot of sponsors. So these sponsors actually pay to be included in, let's say, for example, for the Olympics, because the Olympic rings cannot be simply used unless if you are a sponsor of the IOC or the local Olympic Committee, which is, in this case, the Olympic Council of Malaysia.
So given that, what would be the government's role in endorsing sports or in supporting our Olympians?
You see, the thing is that in most parts of the world, in developed nations, the athletes are professionals, meaning that they use their own money to train, they pay their own coaches, and they qualify for to the Olympics by participating in international meets through their respective sports associations. It's as simple as that. Of course, you've got China, where it's very government-ruled, meaning that from grassroots, they've got their own system where you graduate and the best survive and later represent the country for multi-sports events. Now, in Malaysia, the term professionalism is often used, but it's not reflected in reality, whereby not many of our athletes are really able or capable to actually fund their own trainings. Thus, they often seek refuge under the National Sports Council, which is an agency under the Youth and Sports Ministry. So that is where the confusion, or I wouldn't say confusion, but that's where it becomes sticky, because then the government would want to have a say on these athletes and how they progress and so forth and so on, because naturally they should have a say because they are funding these athletes. But when it comes to the Olympic movement and heading towards the Olympics, the Olympic Council of Malaysia will have the final say, simply because they are the ones endorsing who goes to the Olympics and who does not. In fact, even us, media personnel, we would have to fill out our forms and pass it over to the Olympic Council of Malaysia before we go to any multi-sports events. So they are basically the body that goes through and vets through who goes to the Olympics and who does not.
Harish, thank you so much for those insights. That was sports journalist and editor of 2213, Harish Dale, taking us through the small controversy surrounding the Olympic Council of Malaysia, but also just its function, what it is that we expect our sports bodies to be doing. And we also received this message from Raz.
Do you know that she, and I think in this case it is
Michelle
referring...
Chai.
Yes, Michelle Chai, the current COO, was once the assistant to the CEO of UAEFA. She was also with BAM. You don't have to be a sportswoman to be a good sports administrator. 30K is pittance. Pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
Well, I agree with the point that you don't need to be a sportswoman to be a good sports administrator. That makes sense. But I'm not sure about how 30K is pittance. 30K does sound like a lot.
It does, especially when we're talking about a month. Maybe we're just sensitive because we've been talking about subsidies and free breakfasts today. So especially then in light of that, 30K does feel like an awful
lot. It's because also coming off of such high roles, right? Like being the assistant to the CEO of the UAE.
For sure, yes.
Yeah. So in comparison, relatively low. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And on that note about you don't need to know how to be a sportswoman to be a good sports administrator, I think you see this very often in coaches and managers as well. It's not always people who used to be sports people who then go on to have very successful careers on the other side of the field, right? So, absolutely. Thank you so much for sending that in, Raz. If you have any other thoughts on sports in Malaysia, and if you want to just weigh in on our preparedness, you think, for Tokyo 2020, since we're talking about the Olympic Council, do. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.